Hey guys, it's good to be here this morning. I was looking around, I was like, man, there's a lot of people gone, but there's a lot of men too who are regular Braveheart attenders who have decided to take a week off of work and go volunteer at our Catalyst summer camp. And I can't be more excited about that, to have godly men that go in and pour in to other young men, young boys becoming men. And so I'm very thankful for those men that are here. And makes me feel better because that gives me an excuse that maybe y'all know I was going to be here and everybody just decided to bail out. But it really is. It's awesome to see that because, what we're talking about this morning is really having a purpose in this life. It's something that I struggled with throughout, because always like, is my purpose what I do? And I really got to this place where, because if I wasn't doing what I'm supposed to be doing with regards to career-wise, I felt like that I was failing God. I felt like that I was never able to truly please God if I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing with regards to my career. But really got to this place to where God said, I really believe this about myself, that it doesn't matter whatever I do in this life. It doesn't matter what your job is. My purpose in this life is to go and to make disciples in this world, to love God and love people. And so it's helped me simplify it, because whenever I tried to think, well, I was supposed to be a pastor, and if I'm not being a pastor, then I must be failing God. I must be failing what I'm doing in this life. And I struggled with that, but even when I became a pastor, I was like, well, there's still more to that. This does not identify me. Being a pastor is not what my purpose, in a sense, is. My purpose is, no matter what I do career-wise, is to love God and to love people. And so we're going to be talking about that, making disciples this morning. And Matthew, and it's our mission here at Harvest, but in Matthew 8:28-20, it says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And, I love that part in there where it says, obey all the commands. And where I came up with this, is really is that God showed me a while back, years ago, that the two greatest commands are to love God and love people. And it says, one of the teachers of the law, this is in Mark 12, and it says, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, of all the commandments, which is the most important? And Jesus responded, the most important one is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And so, growing up, I always had this struggle. I've always wanted to try and act to perform. What do I need to be? I need to be doing this. If I'm not doing the right things, and always try to put on a good behavior instead of just really starting to believe who I was and loving myself. And so I love that where it says, love God first. The second and most and equally as important is love your neighbor and then as yourself. So learn to love myself really helped me out, because, whenever you believe the truth of who God is and what he accomplished for you through the finished work of the cross, then you definitely have something to offer, and it puts you on a purpose in this life. Whenever you realize that there's people who are out there just like you, and one of the greatest ways that I've found to love God is to believe what he did for me on that cross, is to accept that and believe that truth about myself. One of the greatest ways I learned to love people is to really learn to love myself. It's a lot easier for me to stand up here and encourage you, inspire you, whatever it may be. But whenever I look at myself, sometimes it's hard to influence me. I can try and influence people all day long, but sometimes it just comes out of a personality, how God wired me, but sometimes I really don't love myself. This was a few years ago, but once I got on that path, I've really learned to accept who Jody was. Jody Meek thinks differently than most people. Jody Meek acts differently, and that's okay. I don't have to be Brad. I don't have to be Gabe. I don't have to be John. I don't have to be Merlin. I have to be Jody Meek in the way I was created. but full of the Holy Spirit, full of who God is. And so I got on this path and this journey of really trying to, learn to love myself. And it put me on a purpose in this life to work, because I want other people to experience the peace, the freedom that I have personally experienced from believing God's truth about myself. And it came from, instead of just loving people out of a personality, it came from me loving people out of a purpose because of who I was. And so, you know, I would like to ask you guys this morning, you know, do you believe that you are capable of making disciples? Do you believe that personally for your life that you have what it takes to make disciples? You know, we're all called to, and most of the time we're the ones that hold ourselves back. And so, you know, it's a lot easier for me to believe this for you guys, and it honestly is, to look out here and say, man, you guys have a purpose, you know, and pump you guys up. But whenever I look at myself, I easily disqualify myself, you know, because I believe that, you know, I'm unworthy because I might not have the wisdom that others have. I might not have the knowledge of the Word of God that other people have. I might not be as expressive in worship as other people are. I might not be able to, I don't have the confidence that other people might have. I know Jody Meek's mistakes. I know Jody Meek's past mistakes. I know Jody Meek's, all of his deepest, darkest thoughts. I know all of Jody Meek's inadequacies. I know my weaknesses, my shortcomings. And so it really becomes, so how can Jody Meek make disciples with all these things that hold me back? You know, so what are your excuses? You know, if I just had this job, then I could be more effective by reaching people. If I just was this type of personality, or if I just had this much money, or if I just had this what, then I could go make disciples. If I was raised in the church my whole life, then I would be able to make more disciples. If I was just able to, whatever it is, but what are those things that we think about? If I, you know, basically what they are, just a bunch of buts. But I didn't have that. But I didn't do that. But you know what? Here's the deal. You have it today. And you still have a purpose today. Don't allow your shortcomings, your weaknesses, your failures, your past hold you back from truly being on point, being on purpose, being on mission to go and have other people experience what you've experienced. It doesn't hold you back. Your past. We allow our past to hold us back. And so this morning we're going to be talking about that. And I know myself better than any of you guys know me. I know all of me. And like I said earlier, it's easier for me to influence you guys than it is myself sometimes. You know, so how can I make disciples? You know, I know what God accomplished for me, and I believe in the complete finished work of Jesus. And if I don't believe this, there's no way I could be doing what I'm doing today. There's no way I could go and influence others, because I wouldn't have that sense of purpose in my life. But whenever I truly got this truth of who I was, man, it really put me on purpose, and it put me in a place to where I could go and do these things. And it wasn't out of trying to do it because it was a good thing to do. It became who I was. It became my new nature. I started tapping in to the truth of who I was. Before then, all it was trying to. And then if I failed, I would just go back. If I failed and couldn't keep on doing it, it was like willpower. And I don't have enough willpower, but whenever I got the power of the Holy Spirit and tapping into that truth, that's what carries me and puts me on purpose. You know, here's what I believe today. I believe that I'm not a sinner, but I'm a saint. I believe that I am a child of the Most High God. I believe that I am whole, complete, and lacking nothing. I believe that I am more than a conqueror. I believe that I am made right with God through the blood of Christ. And it's not out of a confidence arrogance. It's about me getting God's truth, the Word of God, and establishing that truth in my heart. And here's the deal about the truth. The truth doesn't change. The truth is the truth no matter what I feel. God's truth, I can't change God's truth about me. I can't change God's truth about you. You can't change God's truth about yourself. The truth is the truth no matter what. It is established on that firm foundation of the Word of God. Now, if you don't believe the Bible, that's a different conversation. But I believe most of you guys that are here, you probably believe the Word of God. But really, if you take that Word of God and you start establishing your truth and who you are, man, it changes. Even when I mess up, even when I make those mistakes, even whenever I go after my wife or I snap at my kids, want to cuss at the people that are driving too slow for me, whatever it may be, whenever I see those things, whenever I do those things, it still does not change who I am. And it does not change what God says about me. You know, my mistakes, my failures, the shortcomings, they do not and will never change the Word of God. It will never change who God is and the truth about who I am in Christ. And I've mentioned this all the time because this was like the defining moment in my life. Or one of the defining moments. But the big point in my life was whenever I was at Brad Snellgrove's house, before I was ever a pastor. I'd just been here a couple of years. It was just like, man, I need to read my Bible more. I need to do this more. I should pray more, all this stuff. And yes, I need to do all those things more. But he said, no, this is the first time I'd ever done that. I had ever heard this because I always thought, man, I need to do more so I can feel good about myself. But what he handed me was that one of those pamphlets of who I am in Christ. And if you don't have any, I should have brought some this morning. If you have never grabbed one of those, ask me about it and we'll get you one. But he said, no, what you need to do is that you need to believe this more. And it wasn't even it was the scriptures, but it wasn't the Bible. I'm like, no, you should read the Bible more. You should do all this more. But he said, no, you should believe this more. And it's who it was. You are more than a conqueror. All these biblical truths of who God says you are. And that transformed my life. It really put me on a purpose because I didn't have anything to share because it was always about me trying and trying and trying. But whenever I started establishing my truth in my heart of who God says I am, it put me on purpose because I want other people to experience that same freedom that I have and the same peace that I have in my heart as well. And so, you know, I love the stories of the Bible and especially the big heroes of the Bible like Peter. Peter was told by Jesus that he would build his church on that revelation. You know, whenever he was asking, Peter, who do you say I am? And he says, you're the Messiah. And so, whenever he was there but a few chapters later, what he says is that, Jesus goes from telling him, I'm going to build my church on that revelation to you're the devil, you're Satan, get behind me. How many of you guys have ever been called the devil? But none of us have ever been called the devil by Jesus. And Peter was. Yet, it did not transform Peter. Peter even denied Jesus how many times? Three times? That he knew Jesus after he was on the cross? Yet, he still came back to that truth of who God is. Even in his mistakes, he still remembered that truth, that revelation of who Jesus is. He's the Messiah. And what did Peter accomplish? He 3,000 people got saved one night, right? And the Holy Spirit came upon him. See, he didn't allow his shortcomings, his weakness. It's always good and fun to look at those people. Like, well, why did he do that? You know, I don't know what I would do in that situation either. I hope I would know. Hope I could learn from Peter's mistakes. Peter was walking on water and took his eyes off Jesus, but he still did not let his shortcomings keep him from being on purpose and reaching people because he knew the peace and the freedom and the power of Christ in his life. And it put him on that purpose. You know, you look at King David. I mean, an adulterer. It didn't change his purpose in this life. It didn't change his purpose. You look at Samson. It didn't change his purpose in this life. You look at throughout all of history, there's men and women of God who have fallen short of God, have sinned, yet did not change their purpose. Now, there's consequences for our sin, but we can still have a purpose in this life. I mean, look at Paul, the Apostle Paul. He started tapping in to the truth of who I was. Before then, all it was trying to. And then if I failed, I would just go back. If I failed and couldn't keep on doing it, it was like willpower. And I don't have enough willpower, but whenever I got the power of the Holy Spirit and tapping into that truth, that's what carries me and puts me on purpose. You know, here's what I believe today. I believe that I'm not a sinner, but I'm a saint. I believe that I am a child of the Most High God. I believe that I am whole, complete, and lacking nothing. I believe that I am more than a conqueror. I believe that I am made right with God through the blood of Christ. And it's not out of a confidence arrogance. It's about me getting God's truth, the word of God, and establishing that truth in my heart. And here's the deal about the truth. The truth doesn't change. The truth is the truth no matter what I feel. God's truth, I can't change God's truth about me. I can't change God's truth about you. You can't change God's truth about yourself. The truth is the truth no matter what. It is established on that firm foundation of the Word of God. Now, if you don't believe the Bible, that's a different conversation. But I believe most of you guys that are here, you probably believe the Word of God. But really, if you take that Word of God and you start establishing your truth and who you are, man, it changes. Even when I mess up, even when I make those mistakes, even whenever I go after my wife or I snap at my kids, want to cuss at the people that are driving too slow for me, whatever it may be, whenever I see those things, whenever I do those things, it still does not change who I am. And it does not change what God says about me. You know, my mistakes, my failures, the shortcomings, they do not and will never change the Word of God. It will never change who God is and the truth about who I am in Christ. And I've mentioned this all the time because this was like the defining moment in my life. Or one of the defining moments. But the big point in my life was whenever I was at Brad Snellgrove's house, before I was ever a pastor. I'd just been here a couple of years. It was just like, man, I need to read my Bible more. I need to do this more. I should pray more, all this stuff. And yes, I need to do all those things more. But he said, no, this is the first time I'd ever done that. I had ever heard this because I always thought, man, I need to do more so I can feel good about myself. But what he handed me was that one of those pamphlets of who I am in Christ. And if you don't have any, I should have brought some this morning. If you have never grabbed one of those, ask me about it and we'll get you one. But he said, no, what you need to do is that you need to believe this more. And it wasn't even it was the scriptures, but it wasn't the Bible. I'm like, no, you should read the Bible more. You should do all this more. But he said, no, you should believe this more. And it's who it was. You are more than a conqueror. All these biblical truths of who God says you are, and that transformed my life. It really put me on a purpose because I didn't have anything to share because it was always about me trying and trying and trying. But whenever I started establishing my truth in my heart of who God says I am, it put me on purpose because I want other people to experience that same freedom that I have and the same peace that I have in my heart as well. And so, you know, I love the stories of the Bible and especially the big heroes of the Bible like Peter. Peter was told by Jesus that he would build his church on that revelation, you know, whenever he was asking, Peter, who do you say I am? And he says, you're the Messiah. And so, you know, whenever he was there and you know, but a few chapters later, what he says is that, you know, Jesus goes from telling him, I'm going to build my church on that revelation to, you're the devil, you're Satan, get behind me. How many of you guys have ever been called the devil? But none of us have ever been called the devil by Jesus. And Peter was. Yet, it did not transform Peter. Peter even denied Jesus how many times? Three times? That he knew Jesus after he was on the cross? Yet, he still came back to that truth of who God is. Even in his mistakes, he still remembered that truth, that revelation of who Jesus is. He's the Messiah. And what did Peter accomplish? He 3,000 people got saved one night, right? When the Holy Spirit came upon him. See, he didn't allow his shortcomings, his weaknesses. It's always good and fun to look at those people. Like, well, why did he do that? You know, I don't know what I would do in that situation either. I hope I would know. Hope I could learn from Peter's mistakes. Peter was walking on water and took his eyes off Jesus, but he still did not let his shortcomings keep him from being on purpose and reaching people because he knew the peace and the freedom and the power of Christ in his life. And it put him on that purpose. You know, you look at King David. I mean, an adulterer. It didn't change his purpose in this life. It didn't change his purpose. You look at Samson. It didn't change his purpose in this life. You look at it throughout all of history. There's men and women of God who have fallen short of God, have sinned, yet did not change their purpose. Now, there's consequences for our sin, but we can still have a purpose in this life. I mean, look at Paul, the Apostle Paul. He persecuted, killed Christians until he got knocked off his donkey. Then he went to the road. Then all of a sudden, he is like one of the, you know, the heroes of our faith. But even before that, he didn't allow his past to keep him from being on purpose for people, to keep on loving God, loving people, and making disciples. So we can all disqualify ourselves, but we definitely have something to offer people still. People are still have a void in their heart that they want to experience what you've experienced. And so don't allow mistakes, your failures, your sin. Now get free from those sins. I'm not saying keep on sinning and say, oh, I'm still loved by God. No, no. It's like we always say, you're always going to be right with God, but you can still be stupid. Now you need to grow and apply these things, but you're always going to be right with God, but you can still be stupid. And I'm probably that way a lot. But you know, a lot of times too, I look at this and you know, and Brad says this a lot, you know, one of the greatest ways to start is within your sphere of influence. Your sphere of influence and starting right here with you. You know, I think that starting with me was a challenge, but whenever I tried to expand that circle to my wife and kids, it became even more challenging. Because my wife sees a lot of my, in the four walls of my house, my wife sees a lot more of my insecurities, my shortcomings, and a lot of you guys do whenever we just pass. We live life together a lot, and so she sees that. My wife knows me. My kids see my shortcomings. And so how can I lead them? How can I lead my wife? How can I lead my kids whenever they see all my faults? How can I lead my wife and kids whenever they see me blow up at people when I'm driving my car? How can they see more of my scars, my ugliness, than any of you guys do. So how can I lead them? And I think that's where it comes back, you know. It's about me establishing my heart in God's truth, and that doesn't change. And it was challenging at first, and it's taken years for me to get to this place to where, you know, my wife is always like, yes, but I trust you, but, you know, when are you going to go back to the old Jody? How long is this going to last? And it really, it's challenging. But I want to encourage you guys this morning, you know, don't lose heart. You still have something to offer. Like I said, no matter where you are in life, no matter what your shortcomings are, you still have a purpose. You have something to offer whenever you're at work. The people you come in contact with, and I'm not talking about you have to be a Bible, I mean, be a Bible-toting, Word of God lover, yes, but you don't have to go there and constantly preach the Word of God to people. A lot of people just see your actions. A lot of people see how you respond to adversity. A lot of people see how you respond in tough situations. They see how you honor your authority. They see how you honor the people you work with. This is a hard one. People, you know, whenever you're at Walmart, you have something to offer people at Walmart. And a lot of times me, I'm like, I don't want to see anybody. I want everyone to get, I wish I could go whenever, I wish there was just a certain time I could just go into Walmart by myself and get what I wanted to get, because it's like a bad place for me to go. It's like it automatically, I go in the parking lot and I get on mission to go get my stuff and get out of there. I don't want to see anybody. And then all the people are moving too slow for me, so I wanted them to get the heck out of my way. My purpose is to get what I want, not to go and just be Jody and try to, you know, and I'm not that you should go in there anyways. Follow your heart. I'm just saying, whenever I'm driving, that's a big challenge I have. That's why I don't have a Harvest sticker or an Ichthus, you know, a fish on my car, because I don't want to be tailgating somebody because they're going too slow. Then all of a sudden they pull up into the same church I'm going to. Not really. I don't. I really don't have one on my car. But anyways, you know, so we've talked about the two greatest commandments of loving God and loving people. And so you are capable of making disciples because you have something to offer. And one of the greatest ways to love God is to really love people. And one of the greatest ways to love people is learn to love yourself. I believe it's all connected by loving God, loving people, you know, because it's amazing. And I say this all the time because it's crazy and awesome at the same time. But for some odd reason, God entrusted us, his people, to carry out and go make disciples. I mean, really, in an instant, God could just make everyone a disciple if he just snapped his fingers. Yeah, somehow, it's awesomely crazy that he has allowed people like us, me and you, people who are full of sin, full of shame, full of guilt, inadequacies, fears, failures. Yeah, he still entrusts us. And so, for some reason, if we could start looking at ourselves the way God views us through the finished and complete work of the cross, then we would realize that, you know, yes, we have our faults, and I'm so thankful for that because I could not be doing this. I cannot be making disciples if I didn't have Jesus Christ in my life. It would be impossible. Well, first of all, because God wouldn't be saved. But anyway, so the best place to start with this, you know, really, like I said, is to start with yourself, then to start expanding it to your wife and your kids. And even in those moments when it gets tough, don't lose heart. Keep on fighting the good fight. Keep on going because it is, it's different. Even if you're influencing yourself, God, this is what I feel right now. I feel like I'm a failure. But God, your word says this. God, I feel, God, I have sinned, yet this is who I am. God, I feel like I'm a sinner and unworthy, but God, your son, Jesus, died on that cross, God, so I am a saint, I'm a child of the Most High God, I'm made right with you because of Jesus Christ. It doesn't change the truth of a fact that you sinned, but the truth will set you free. You get to that place to where it becomes more and more natural for you. And so, man, I remember many times sitting in my car after Bravehearts and talking to my wife. I remember I was coaching, and I'd just make a quick trip over there to the high school. I'd be starting to teach her what. And it was always awkward because I just wanted to say, because she wanted me to lead her. She would say, what did you learn at Bravehearts this morning? And I would be like, it was good. It was just good. I had that fear because if I let you know what I'm learning, then you can hold that against me. And whenever I fall short of that, then I'm in trouble. Whenever I fall short of that, you can hold that against me. So it is fearful. But I would not change those moments at all for where we are at now because it's very scary. It is very scary. And so here's where we're going to land. Then we're going to have some time, plenty of time to talk this morning. But here's some questions that I'd really like to ask you to do. You know, what is that one truth that you need to believe this morning? What's that one truth you need to believe this morning? And then what is holding you back from truly tapping into who you are and establishing that truth of God in your life? And, you know, and here's what I want to say. I am so thankful. I am so thankful for that day whenever somebody told me, just believe more. I'm so thankful that there's men in my life that have had established before I got here the truth of who Jesus Christ was in their life, and they led me to that place where I could get that same type of freedom, where I could get that same type of peace. I'm so thankful for those men who have inspired me, who have taught me to establish God's truth in my heart. Because of them, my life is forever changed, and I'm so thankful. So I started thinking about that, and I'm thankful that I'm like, well, who's the next person that crosses my path that needs to experience the same thing that I've experienced? Who's that next person in your life that's going to cross your path that needs to experience? And I say this a lot, too, on Sunday mornings. You know, there's people every Sunday morning coming through these doors, and I'm so thankful that our guest, I'm so thankful that, you know, we've always continued to make room for more people so that there is a seat for them. Because I was thankful whenever I came whenever I came 10 years ago, that there's a seat for me and my wife and my kids. Since then, I've seen two of my boys get baptized and being saved. My marriage, I believe, is saved. I don't know if I would still be married today if I did not have the truths that I was getting. And one of those greatest truths that I ever got was started believing who I was by loving myself, and it put me on a purpose and a mission to teach my kids, love my wife, love my kids, and it's expanded out. And so this morning, that's what I want to do. Let's just take some time and discuss those two things. You know, what is keeping you from really discipling yourself, wife, kids, discipling others? And then what is one truth that you need to believe this morning? And I want you guys to take some time and really pray those truths over one another, okay? I'm going to pray for us, and you guys can take some time. We have plenty of time, and that's no lie. So you guys pray with me. God, we love you. God, I thank you that, man, we do have the powerful truth of your word. So God, I pray this morning that, like I've already asked, God, that you'll just search our hearts. God, there's a truth that we need to believe. God, I pray that you will just establish that in our hearts firmly. God, don't let anything take it away. Do not let the worries of this world take it away. Do not let the enemy take it away. God, but I pray that it will take deep root and fertile soil, and that truth will begin to grow and produce much fruit in their life. In your name we pray. Amen.